Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Unveiling Bible Prophecy. So glad to see you all again, and we're happy to have you. So as we continue in the series tonight, we're going to be talking about the law of love. Tomorrow night, we will continue with the law of love with Remember the Forgotten. And then Saturday morning, A Way Out, we're going to be going over the plan of salvation and the prophecies that talk about Jesus specifically. And then Saturday afternoon, Open the Books. So we're going to continue looking into these other prophecies that have to do with us and Christ. Tonight's topic, the law of love. So before we continue any further, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you again for blessing us tonight. And I thank you for your truth and your word. I ask they may use me now as your mouthpiece, that you may guide me to deliver this message, that it may be your words and not my own. And I ask that you may put a special blessing on this topic, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of us have heard different things about the law of God. Some of us may have heard God's law no longer applies. Some, his commandments have been abolished. His commandments are no longer relevant. And his commandments are impossible to keep. But we're going to look at what the Bible actually does say about the law of God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their eyes away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So the Bible here is giving us fair warning, because it shows us that in the future, people will not want to go by what the Bible says. But rather, they're looking for other things, fables. So they look for teachers who don't teach from the Bible, but actually teach from their own resources, things that make them feel good. So is the law of God actually done away with? Let's look at what the law is. In Exodus chapter 20, we go into the Ten Commandments, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, first off, who spake? God. Verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for the Lord thy God for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number five. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. 6, thou shalt not kill. 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. 8, thou shalt not steal. 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So, those are the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God on two tablets of stone, given to Moses to be repeated to the children of Israel. So, now that we know what the law is, what is sin? Well, the Bible clearly defines what sin is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Plain and simple. Someone who sins breaks the law. Do we have laws today? Absolutely. What happens if you were to break one of those laws? You would get a ticket. Or you might get arrested. You might get thrown in prison. There's consequences if you break the law. And the laws are put into place for a purpose. There's so many accidents out in the world today, just by people driving, not paying attention, or not observing the laws. Either they're going too fast, they don't observe the red light, they're drunk while they're driving, and what happens? Somebody gets hurt. Usually the person who gets hurt is not the person, sometimes it goes both ways, but usually the person who causes that is the person who's breaking the law. So what is the purpose of the law? Well, 1 John 3:4, like we read before, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is Paul's writing. After Jesus ascended back into heaven, after Pentecost, Paul is writing here in the book of Romans that the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So Paul is very simple here. He's saying he wouldn't know what was wrong unless the law explained it. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So James is comparing the law to a mirror. And think about it. What do we use mirrors for? To look at imperfections on us, right? For instance, if I wanted to shave, I need to see what I'm shaving, or else I'm definitely going to miss a spot, or I may cut myself. The law reveals to us the imperfections in our character. So the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments given at Sinai to the children of Israel was to reveal what sin was. To give you a little background, the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. They were living amongst heathens who did not worship God. So eventually, they lost sight of who God was. So when God had brought them out and brought them into the wilderness at Mount Sinai, he had to reestablish his law and his way with his people. He had to reteach them the things that their ancestors already knew. So this wasn't something brand new just upon the scene, just for those people. This is something that was established a long time ago, but forgotten over time. So the law reveals to us what sin is. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 4, 15. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. So, if there's no law, we have no idea what's right and wrong, because there's nothing that tells us what is right and wrong. So if we don't know what's right and wrong, then there's no sin, because there's nothing to break. So is the law just for the Jews? You remember the story of Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. God had instructed them to bring a sacrifice. Abel brought what God had required. On the other hand, Cain did not listen to what the Lord had required, but brought what he thought was good enough. So Cain got upset because God did not accept his offering. Genesis 4:6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door." What is sin? Transgression of the law. So right here in Genesis, not far from Adam and Eve, God is telling Cain that he is going to sin if he disobeys him. Romans 26:5, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So, even Abraham, in Genesis, before Exodus, long before Moses was on the scene, the Bible tells us that he even kept God's commandments. Genesis 39 and verse 9, speaking of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Israel, sold into slavery in Egypt, and he was working in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39:9. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you," speaking of Potiphar's wife, "because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Potiphar's wife was trying to sleep with Joseph. But Joseph knew that it was sin. He even says it. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Long before the Ten Commandments were ever given to Moses, Joseph knew what sin was. 1 Corinthians 14:33. "For God is not the author of confusion. Let all things be done decently and in order." Can you imagine how chaotic things would be if there was no laws? If anybody was just allowed to do whatever they wanted to do? I mean, we have problems today, and we have plenty of laws. Imagine if there was no law at all. God is not the author of confusion, but he does things in exact order. Psalms 103:20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So the Bible even tells us that the holy angels in heaven keep God's commandments. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So it's not just those who just hear what the Ten Commandments are, but who keep them. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Revelation 14:12, the very definition of a saint. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So the Bible tells us right here, the saints keep God's commandments. And this is in the book of Revelation. Long after Jesus was on the scene, long after Pentecost, because the Bible does not contradict itself, but it is consistent from Genesis to Revelation. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So does Jesus here change the Ten Commandments and just put them down to two? Well, let's take a look at the Ten Commandments and compare them to these principles that Jesus has. Loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to the law and compare it. Love to God. God will be number one in your lives. So, the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before him. Okay? Our worship will be reserved for him alone. If we truly love God, and he is number one in our lives, we're not going to worship idols. We're not going to go after other things. We will respect and reverence his holy name. So, if we love God, we're not going to drag his name through the dirt. Right? We will be anxious to keep our appointment with him each Sabbath. So, in the fourth commandment, it says to remember to keep the Sabbath holy. So that's the one day that God had set aside to spend time with him. So if we truly love God, we're going to keep that appointment, and we're going to be excited to spend that time with him, right? Now, love to your neighbor. Respect and honor our parents. So if we love our parents, are we going to disrespect them? No. Are we going to treat them like strangers? Absolutely not. Value life. So if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to value their life as if it were our own. Preserve morality. Respect the property of others. Be honest in our relationships with each other. Not covet that which belongs to another. So by showing love for God and for our fellow man, we keep the commandments. So is the law done away with? Matthew 5:17. Jesus says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus himself states he will not do away with the law. He even goes on to say that heaven and earth will pass away before the law passes away. Verse 19, whosoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, after he makes the statement that he will not do away with the law, that heaven and earth will pass away before the law passes away, goes on to say that if you go on to teach others that it's okay to break the law, you will be called the least in heaven. But if you teach men what the commandments are and to keep them, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 111, verse 7 and 8. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and righteousness and uprightness. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Paul says this. A lot of people like to claim the grace of God and use it as a license to continue to sin. But Paul here is saying we shall not continue to sin because we are under grace. Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So he's saying you're either going one way or the other. There's only two paths. You're either going to be disobedient and break God's law, which leads to death, or you will be obedient and keep the law, which leads to life. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Paul was a believer of Jesus Christ. He's saying right here, faith does not make void the law or the commandments. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So James is supporting what Paul had wrote, saying, you can have faith, but your works better support that faith. In other words, all right, to give you an example, if I go around telling people I'm an electrician and, you know, that I believe in the NEC code book, the electrical code, and then somebody asks me to go to their house to go fix something, and I say, well, you know, I believe I could do it. And I say, okay, well, come do it. I say, well, you know, I just believe I can, but, you know, I don't have to do it, but I'm an electrician. Would you think I'm an electrician? There's a saying, the proof is in the pudding. If I don't support what I'm saying, it means nothing. So in other words, if we claim to be Christians and God had established his Ten Commandments to give to all of his people, and we do not keep those commandments, but we claim to be his followers, the faith, as James is saying, is in vain and worth nothing. He even goes on to say that the devils even believe and tremble. So just having a mere belief in Jesus does not own up to anything unless our actions follow. What about John 3:16? Oh, we love this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen to that. But let's keep reading. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So the grace of God is Jesus giving out the invitation to anybody who is willing to accept him. But it's not just a belief that Jesus can save you. See, Jesus, when he came to the world, he did not only come as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, but to correct the wrongs that had been going on during those days. If you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was constantly rebuking the Pharisees of the time because they were putting their traditions above God's commandments. So what law was done away with? Deuteronomy 31. Going back to the sanctuary. Deuteronomy 31, verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. So the Ark of the Covenant, on the side of the Ark, there was another law. And we're going to see what that law was. Exodus 31:18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. So the Ten Commandments were written on two tablets of stone with the finger of God, given to Moses. Exodus 25:21. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. Speaking of the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments went inside the ark. Exodus 34:28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So, there was another law given to Moses, the sacrificial system, which pointed to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. So what they would do is they would take a lamb without spot. The person who had the sin would place his hand on the lamb's head, confess his sins, symbolically transferring that sin to the lamb. Then he would have to take a knife and slit the lamb's throat, which symbolized Christ being the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world for us. But that law was not put inside the ark because it was only temporary. It was only until the day that Jesus came to fulfill that. Mark chapter 15, 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So, very symbolic here. When the temple tore from the top to the bottom, separating the holy place from the most holy place, it was symbolic to show that the sacrificial system had ended when Jesus died on the cross. No longer was there any more need for bulls and rams and lambs to be slain for sin. Jesus had fulfilled that part of the law. So the law that was done away with was the law of the sacrificial system. Now that Jesus had sacrificed himself, we no longer need to keep the sacrificial system, which I think most of us would be glad about, because then we don't have to go around killing lambs anymore for every time that we sinned. Jesus paid the price for our sins. So it is not the moral law, which are the Ten Commandments, that are done away with, but rather the sacrificial system. I'm going to do a little example here. So, we have sin, which is transgression of the law. The law, Ten Commandments, which reveals what sin is. Then we have grace by our Savior, which is written in the gospel, which is preached by the preacher in church. Amen? You with us so far? If we take away the law, the Bible says, where there is no law, there is no sin. So, if you do away with the law, there's no sin. If you don't have any sin, well, you don't need any grace. If you don't have any grace, you certainly don't need a Savior. If you don't have a Savior, well, you won't need a gospel. And if you have no gospel, there's nothing for the preacher to preach. And if there's nothing for the preacher to preach, might as well get rid of the church. So, doing away with the law is not just doing away with the law. Essentially, you're saying, if there's no law, then there's no sin, then I don't need any grace or a Savior or a gospel or somebody to preach it to me, and I don't need to go to church because there's no law. It destroys everything. That's why God said, that's why Jesus said, the law will not be done away with. So how can we keep the law? Is it possible? Is it possible for a sinful man to keep the law? I say yes. Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Right out of Jesus' mouth. So, love fulfills the law. That is the only possible way to ever keep the law. For instance, if I love God, I'm not going to have any other gods before Him. I'm not going to bow down to idols. I'm not going to use His name in vain. And I'm going to keep His Sabbath. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to be disrespectful to my parents. I'm not going to murder somebody. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to covet, because I love them. Think about it. If you really love somebody as you love yourself, you wouldn't want those things done to you. So why would you go out and do that to somebody else? And it is only by the grace of God that He will guide us to be able to love others as ourselves. So what are the benefits of keeping the law? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So Jesus is saying, if you keep the commandments, you're going to be joyful. They're not going to be a burden. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The Bible tells us if the person who is happy will keep the law. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. I like peace. I don't know about you, but I like peace. I don't like feeling guilty. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Matthew 19:17. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Jesus over and over leads people back to keeping the commandments, to loving God, to loving their neighbor. When Jesus talked to the lawyer, and the lawyer was asking him who his neighbor is, Jesus went on to tell him to love his neighbor as himself. Jesus did not stray away from the law, but like he said in Matthew 5, he fulfilled it and taught others to fulfill it. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Friends, those who follow God and truly love Him will follow Him in everything that He requests of us. The law can only be fulfilled through love. How do you love somebody? You get to know them. You spend time with them. So we have God's Word. We have prayer. We have church. And we have any other moment in the day to spend time with God. The closer we get to Him, the more we get to know Him, the more we are going to appreciate and love Him, and we won't even want to sin against Him. It will just come naturally. Think about it. If you were trying to get to know a young lady or a young man, what would you do? You would spend time with them. You would talk to them. That's how you get to know God. The more you get to know God, the more you're going to appreciate and love Him, and the less that you're going to want to make Him unhappy. So for those of you who want to be among those saints, who want to start to get to know the Lord more, stand with me as we have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your law. I thank you for your love and patience and your word. And I ask that you may be with each and every one of us tonight and every night that follows, that you may continue to guide us, to help us to get to know you better. Continue to strengthen us and guide us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Come back tomorrow night. We're going to continue with the Remember the Forgotten. So have a safe trip home, and we hope to see you tomorrow.